This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to Pressing Matters on The Morning Run, the show that takes you beyond the headlines of the day. I'm Melissa Idris with Sharad Kutin. And joining us on the show this week is Bernd Pickert, journalist from Die Tageszeitung, or better known as TAZ, one of the five daily papers in Germany distributed nationwide. Good morning, Bernd. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so I guess where we'll start off today is kind of placing where TAZ sits within the media landscape in Germany. So if you could tell us a little bit about the paper and how it came to be.
Yeah, TAZ is a very interesting story because it's a unique case in the German media landscape. It was founded in the late 70s. When in Germany a lot of new social movements were taking place, like the anti-nuclear movement, peace movement, environmental movement, solidarity with the Third World movement, and all of those felt that they didn't have an expression neither in the political party system nor in the press. So at the same time, more or less, and from the same spirit, the Green Party in Germany and TAZ was founded. There was never an organic connection between the party and the newspaper, but it was the same spirit actually at the founding moment. That was 36 years ago, and it was founded mainly by activists, neither journalists nor media entrepreneurs, let's say. So there was no money. And so how to found a newspaper without any money? And the basic idea was, if the idea is right, that all those movements need a newspaper and want a newspaper, then it should be able to collect some money just to get a start off. And that was working. There were around 5,000 people subscribing to a newspaper which didn't exist at the moment, but paying in advance. So we could collect some money and get a start in April of 79. And that from that moment on, it was a daily newspaper. A lot of financial crisis in the first years because the normal financing model for any newspaper, 70% of income from advertisement, 30% by selling the newspaper via subscription or on the newsstand. That didn't work for TAZ. Nobody wanted to put an advertisement in TAZ, at least not the big companies, because it was a newspaper from the radical left, and the radical left who wants to invest some money in advertising a newspaper from the radical left, nobody. So we had to invent another finance and business model from the beginning. And actually, we relied very much on the solidarity of our readers by buying the newspaper to a higher price and even funding us a form of crowdfunding, even well before the word even exists.
Very quickly, what is the name, what is Tageszeitung? Because I know Zeit means time, but then what does that whole thing mean?
Tageszeitung means daily newspaber.
It's a literal T.
It sounds so exotic when you say it in German.
Not at all. The founders, they were discussing for days about a name for the newspaper and they couldn't agree upon one. And so they said, why don't just call it daily newspaper, Die Tageszeitung? And full stop.
That's exactly what it is. It's a daily newspaper.
Exactly.
Do you still practice the crowdfunding model? Is it still?
Well, it's officially not crowdfunding because officially we are not a non-profit organization. We are quite a normal newspaper enterprise, but it's a cooperative right now. We started to fund the cooperative about 10 years, 12 years after TAZ was founded and after some profound financial crisis. We thought that we should have some kind of model to join some capital. Mm. And as we didn't want to sell the newspaper to any big media company to keep our independence, then we thought about that model. Why not building up on the model of solidarity from our readers and founding a cooperative where we invite our readers to join the cooperative, give some money just to join it, not promising any financial gains from that. That has worked out, right? And even now, every year, more people join the cooperative. We have now, I think, some 15,500 members of the cooperative. Each one of them has paid at least once 500 euros. Most of them have paid more and keep on giving us more money in the form of capital. The spirit of them is we don't expect financial gains from that. We know that the money is lost practically, but we want this newspaper to keep existing.
Have your audiences aged with you, or are you getting new audiences as well?
Well, as most newspapers in print, it's hard for us to find anybody under the age of 40 to buy a newspaper. Everybody reads online. On their smartphones, on their laptops, wherever, but nobody buys a newspaper anymore.
You're online, of course.
Yes, we are online. We were actually the first German newspaper to be online in 95, but that was just putting the content online once a day, around 9 o'clock at night, edition of next day, and then nothing changed for 24 hours, and then we put on the next edition. Right now for 10 or 12 years, we have an own online edition, which is basically, it's still the content of the newspaper. We are among the 20 most used in Germany, which is, for a small newspaper as ours, it's okay. The hard thing for everybody is to make money on the internet, because advertising worked a little bit at one moment where most people had access to the internet and read their newspapers on the computer. Mm-hmm. Because on the computer you have the big space.
It's a bigger screen.
The bigger screen, yeah. And you can put some advertising. Mm-hmm. Right now everybody reads it on the mobile phone. And on the mobile screen you don't have a lot of space to put an advertisement, or you annoy the people by pop-ups,
yeah.
And people don't like that. And it's rather an anti-advertisement, because I will get mad at a company which pops up every time I want to read an article. Huh? Mm-hmm. So that's the hard part, to make money from the internet. We still rely, 80% of our income is still by selling the newspaper subscription. But the age, and you asked if our readers have aged with us, yes, they have. When Taz was founded, we had the youngest readership of all newspapers in Germany. It was 20 plus. Huh? Now it's 55 plus, huh? the average age of our readers. And that's... at least they are not 80, so...
Okay, that's potential still to grow.
What about the evolution of your editorial line? The conversations that you were having in the 70s, solidarity with the Third World, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, and all the list that you had, the anti-nuclear movement, they all signal a kind of left progressive stance, right?
Right.
But many of the underlying assumptions about the value of multiculturalism and inclusion have been challenged progressively, especially in the last decade or so. We see the rise of Islamophobia. Have you lost your own readership to the changing nature of that conversation in Europe, in Germany? People have lost faith with the assumptions that the left and the progressive movements have about diversity and such. Have you had that challenge?
I would say it's a challenge, but we haven't lost our readership, but rather confirmed our readership. Because, let's put it this way, Islamophobia, xenophobia has always existed in Germany, but it was not very strong. And it was not, it didn't have this kind of political expression. It was not on the rise. Huh? And therefore, over the last 10 years or so, politics in Germany were rather boring. We had this big coalition between Christian Democrats and Social Democrats and a very small opposition. And everybody was more or less okay.
It's stable, status quo.
Yeah, it was stable, and nobody was afraid of anything. I mean, hardly find any social democrat who is afraid of a government led by Angela Merkel, and you would hardly find any Christian democrat being afraid of a government led by any social democrat. So it's not like in the United States where really right now people are afraid of Trump being a president. In Germany, that was rather boring. That has changed now. Over the migrant crisis, there has been a certain kind of polarization in the society. You are either for or against refugees coming in. You are either for Islam being a part of Germany, or you say no way. And that is reflected also in the media landscape somehow. But as this is not really a discussion in our newspaper, I mean, we are for the multicultural diversity and all that kind of stuff. What we are discussing a lot is strategy with our readers and with politicians and with people from NGOs or social movements. What to do about that? How to behave? Or which argument? Is it okay to say, in the name of social peace, not to take in too much refugees, because that could put in danger the social consent, or if you want? Or do we have to stand on our principles to guarantee the right of every refugee, the right to asylum, which is granted in the German Constitution, and so on? So it's more strategy than this, but it makes us even more alive and more important in the view of our readers.
So you said that the migrant crisis is very divisive, not just in politics, but also within the media and German citizens. Where does it lie? I mean, is it more a feeling of anti-migrants, or is it more of assimilating the migrants into the German community?
I would say it's almost equally split, because Okay. Summer of last year, when migrants started to come in big numbers. I mean, over the last years, we had an influx of migrants, but not as many in short terms as of last year, when Angela Merkel decided to open the borders for the migrants being stuck in Hungary in this moment. And so that was a moment that really changed a little bit the perception, because in every village in Germany, they had to take in some refugees, build some refugee shelter and so on. So it was very much visible for everybody. But there was still the big summer of the what we in Germany call the welcome culture. People in long lines standing at the train stations where the trains with the refugees were coming in, applauding them, giving out toys and food and so on. That changed of a New Year's night in Cologne. What happened in Cologne, massive sexual attack on women, German women, by somehow Northern Arabic men, North African men. While we still don't know exactly what happened there and why it could happen, that changed a little bit the overall scenario and the thinking of people. I'm sure the radical right was celebrating this day because it was just confirming everything they had said. Nevertheless, all the volunteers movement, they keep on working. And in every German town, you have a lot of initiatives welcoming refugees right now, not by applauding at the train stations, but by working in the refugee shelters, giving German classes, accompanying people to the offices to make the bureaucratic steps necessary to be granted asylum in Germany, or finding an apartment if they are granted the asylum status. Just trying to do practical integration and building friendships, welcoming the kids or giving them a hand, learning for school, or all these kind of things.
Yeah, trying to
and this is a massive movement still. It's not very loud. I mean, they are all very much involved in practical questions every day, and so they don't have a big voice in Germany. Huh? The right wing is nowadays it's much louder, and you hear them a lot more. They have manifestations and protests every time. And what you see in the reactions of the political parties and of our government is that they listen a lot to them, and they are afraid to lose part of their
support.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's support to the new right-wing party, but yeah, that's politics.
On the question of economics, you know, as a paper from the left, are there real issues left? It seems like there's a kind of general consensus that capitalism is okay, and you know, you just have to maybe ameliorate the harsher aspects of it, create social safety nets, and there's a kind of social democratic model that everybody can agree on, and there's no space or real critique left for capitalism. Or is that this case in Germany? Does your paper just deal with cultural issues and political issues? Does it also deal with economic issues and both. Economic arrangements?
Both. I mean, Tats has never had an editorial line aligned to any political wing of the left. Huh? So it was never the official voice of any of Trotskyism, of Leninism, of you name it. Huh? But it was always a mixture of every leftist tendency you might have in the German left. So it was always discussing proposals and sharing critique and discussing different proposals. But it was never, I mean, we said from the radical left, but it was never really revolutionary, actually. It was always on democracy, human rights, understanding being from the radical left on these lines. Huh? For example, during the time of the German division, we had good contacts to dissidents from the GDR. They published some stuff of them in our newspaper, and we had established some contacts. We were never being given the permission to have a permanent correspondent in East Berlin, for example, because the Eastern German government didn't like us at all. We were from the left, but we were from a kind of left that for them was, I don't know what, but it was not on their lines. As with Cuba today, we might criticize capitalism, but we are not in line with the Cuban model, for example. So we work with dissidents in Cuba and with independent journalists in Cuba, and the Cuban government doesn't like us at all. For 10 years now, we haven't been granted a journalist visa for Cuba. This kind of stuff. So, but back to your question, yes, we do. For example, in the crisis over Greece, We were very much criticizing the European approach, just forcing them to spend less, to cut down government spending on social issues and so on, because that's not the way. Huh? And even in Germany, I mean, this is part of the migrant discussion too, because there are Germans who are on the poverty line, what in Germany would be considered poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, hey, it's not my fault, the war in Syria. I don't sell arms to those countries. I know our government agrees to do this and our companies do that, but I'm not the one who profits from it. Why should I suffer from the results? And that's, to a certain extent, it's correct. So, after all, if you want to form a social consent that globalization is real and that responsibility from Germany is for what happens in Syria, what happens in Africa, what happens in Latin America, what happens in Asia, as we are a country, very powerful economic country with ties to all over the world, then we have to redistribute the wealth being generated by this in our own country so that people feel that it's their responsibility. Huh? And because if the leading, let's say the political and economic elite just says, well, that's our responsibility as Germans, but they wouldn't spend any of their own wealth on this, but rather asking the common people to be sharing, to be paying more taxes or whatever, while the 1% of really rich people pay less and less taxes, or even, as we know from the Panama Papers, again...
Evade taxes.
Huh? So... that's what's really threatening the social consent, I would say. Huh? And we try to pound that out. But of course, again, there is no editorial line in TATS. Huh? We discuss issues, we discuss topics, but then about every single issue, there might be different opinions inside our own editor's board, and we will publish all the different opinions. We will very often have different opinion pieces, really contradicting opinions in the same day and all written by editorial staff. Because we say we don't have to build a consent between us. We can have different opinions. And we are sure our readers will have different opinions too. What can a newspaper do? It's not like commanding you have to have this opinion, but rather giving some ideas.
But don't you feel that dilutes the identity of the paper?
No, it's all in a certain framework. I mean, when I say different opinions, that doesn't mean opinions from the radical left and from the radical right. But...
Within the same kind of discussion.
Okay. Exactly. And it's no longer from the radical left. I mean, I wonder if it has ever really been, or it was just a saying. But right now, I would say, I mean, in the United States, you would call that liberal. And that's more or less what we are. It's liberal left, something like that, with some basic issues like human rights, no to racism, no to sexism, all this kind of stuff. That's the framework. But within that, you can discuss a million things and be of different opinions. And that's what we do.
But you and I are the same age. And I'm thinking that you weren't there at the founding of this paper because you had been a bit too young, I think.
Yeah, I wasn't. I was a reader of the first.
Well, you were reading at five or six or something like, because you were born in 66, I imagine.
Yeah, in 65.
Okay.
I was 14 when TATS was founded.
So what was for your generation, what were the radicalizing events either in Germany or internationally that attracted you to that worldview?
For me personally, it was the peace movement, which was in Europe, the movement against the American missiles being stationed on German ground. So the Cold War and the threat within atomic catastrophe in Europe. That was one issue, environmental issue, of course. Because we saw, it was all about apocalypse and how to avoid that. Huh? And on a local issue, which had a lot of impact to me personally, was the squatters movement in Berlin. All the old buildings, pre-World War II buildings, which were empty, which were abandoned, and which were to be abolished. And then young people without any apartments just squatted them, rebuilt them, and so on. And that was a big movement and a lot of riots in the street, a lot of police repression, and so on. I'm in the age of 14, 15, 16, I joined those movements very much and had my own experiences with the police and so on. And yeah, that's very much that.
Well, we've been speaking to Bernd Pickert, a journalist from TAS, which is one of the five daily papers in Germany distributed nationwide. Thank you so much for joining us on Pressing Matters today. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you again for having me.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.